I'd like to thank each one that's come out tonight. Good to see everyone. And before we open the Word of God, we'll speak to God in prayer. Father, we thank Thee for these hymns we've been singing, which speaks of the blood of Christ, which speaks of a Savior, and there's no one else that we can look to for salvation but Him. Our Father, we thank Thee that He came from glory, and He went all the way to that cross. Our Father, we thank Thee that He came for us, and we just pray that in this meeting tonight there would be one sinner that would believe this, that would see it for themselves, that for God so loved the world, His only Son He gave. Our Father, we thank Thee for drawing each one out here, and that they have an opportunity to listen to the Word of God, not the words of man, but that they would see tonight that it is God speaking to them. So give us help tonight, in the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. I'd like to read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. Matthew, chapter 1, and verse 18. Matthew 1 and verse 18 says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together," note that, "before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And note this, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Many things in this world we don't understand, eternity being one of them. We all live in a world where time, you might say time rules. I know when I leave for work in the morning, I cannot argue with that clock. There's only so many minutes between point A and point B, and if I don't give myself enough minutes, then I'm late for point B. Our lives are measured in time. The Bible tells us that all we can expect now for our lifespan is 70. That's 70 years. Well, there are quite a few who live beyond that, and some don't make that. But time is a great factor in our lives, and it's all we know. But there's something that was long before time, and that was eternity. Eternity can't be explained. Michael was explaining to us the other day out in the water how a nuclear bomb works, and how they've... Now, I don't know why he was reading up on this. Maybe it's a little disturbing. But basically, they can make them in big packages or small packages. And the point of his speech was that these small packages are very unstable, and only in a big bomb they can really regulate what it is. But things that we normally don't understand can be understood with some education, some bit of reading and this and that. I can learn how to make a cake, even though it's, I don't know anything about cakes. I like eating cake. But when we talk about eternity, it's something we've never experienced. It's hard to understand about a God who always was and always will be. Something else that people perhaps can't understand. The Bible talks about the triune God, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and how they were together in eternity, and they created all that we see and all that we are. And God said one to another, let us make man in our own image. And you were put on this earth for a purpose. You know, God, down through the ages, God was something that you couldn't look at. The Bible said there in the Old Testament that if you look upon, God says, if you look upon me, you'll die. But we can look everywhere and we can't physically see God. That's hard to understand. God appeared to Moses in the desert by a burning bush. Moses observed this bush that was burning and yet it was not consumed. And he was puzzled by it and he went and looked. And God was in the fire. And he says, I am. He told Moses, Tell them that I am. I am that I am. And he had a message for Moses. God appeared unto Joseph outside the walls of Jericho as a soldier, as a captain of the host of heaven. And Joseph looked at him and didn't recognize him. He said, are you for us or against us? But God appeared to him there in that form. And God appeared in this earth in the womb of an obedient Hebrew woman as a fetus, not touched by man, but by the Holy Ghost. And there's something else we can't understand. You see, Joseph was advised to put her away, to basically call off the marriage. Because here was Mary pregnant, and they had never been together. You see, man knows the simple biology of human reproduction and what it takes. And things didn't add up here. And Joseph was minded to put her away. But an angel appeared unto Joseph. It says, don't let it bother you. This is of the Holy Ghost. And Joseph was satisfied with that and obedient, and he took Mary to be his wife. And God appeared unto man in the form of humanity. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Did you come tonight knowing that you were a sinner? Any of us here that are saved by God's grace have realized that at one time or another, that we were sinners in trouble with God. If you've surely have been in trouble with your parents, hopefully not in trouble with the law, but it's really in trouble to a higher authority. You've done wrong, and the higher authority is going to take you accountable for it. In the case of sin, all sin is done against God, and he is the highest authority. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none that are exempt. From the platform to the back of the room, there's none that are exempt. Jesus Christ was not like any other man. The Gospels record him. John chapter 7, they sent out men to take him by force, and they came back empty-handed, and the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they said, "Why haven't you taken him?" Oh, they said, "Never a man spake like this man, different than anybody else. Wasn't like the men born on this earth. He was from heaven." Daryl reminded us this morning of that time out on the sea where he calmed the sea in Matthew's gospel. And he said, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? He had power over the elements, not like any man." In Luke's gospel, the multitude, they reached their hands out to him, and he healed them all. Who could do that? God only. And the people said, "Who can forgive sins but God only?" But Jesus said it, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." This one who we're presenting to you tonight is not like anyone else. They're standing in the River Jordan, being baptized of John the Baptist in Mark's gospel. There came a voice from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now remember what we said. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." But heaven opens up. The voice comes down, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." There was no sin in him. You must have heard of all the sacrifices in the Old Testament and how all the bulls and lambs were killed and blood sacrifices to cover sin only for a short time. And the millions and millions of animals that died and all the blood that flowed, but it could never take away sin. It was just a covering for a short time. But all this was done to point forward to him. This one that came from heaven, when nobody else could and nobody else would, there's someone who looked down upon you and loved you and came to die in your place. You know, when he was going to the cross, it's often said that he went alone. It was a lonely place, a lonely road that he trod, that he went along, and nobody understood. He had his disciples with him. And you say, well, surely they must have understood. But one day the Lord Jesus tried to tell them all how it was going to be. "They're going to take me. And they're going to crucify me." And Peter says, "No, not so. Far be it from thee, Lord." He didn't understand. Jesus must go to the cross. You know, there's a hymn we sometimes sing, "Amazing Love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me?" You know, tonight, there's one who came from heaven. And upon that cross, he died for you. So, in some of the hymns we were singing there just now, it talks about the tree. It's referring to the cross. It was a form of torture. A long-lasting death. The worst kind of death. And long before this act of crucifixion, this death was ever thought up. It was foretold in the Bible. It says, "They pierced my hands and my feet." Who else would it be talking about? The Lord Jesus Christ. He resides in heaven tonight, still with those scars, still with those wounds, as a freshly slayed lamb. You know, knowing these few little things, that he was unique in his birth, no birth like it, and his life, he was not like anybody else. And there in his death, the worst death ever, crucifixion, laying or hanging on a tree for hours, bleeding and suffering there in the heat. And he laid down his own life. He says, no man take my life, I lay it down to myself. And if I lay it down, I will take it again. Knowing this, we turn to Isaiah 53. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. When I read about the crucifixion in Matthew's gospel, I'm amazed. Most Bibles, most modern Bibles now, they have the words of Christ written in red. And it amazes me how the red disappears from the page. He opened not his mouth. Oh, he patiently took the punishment for us. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. You know, there is one tonight who was raised from the dead and resides in heaven, who has borne your iniquities. He has suffered on the cross for you. He could cry out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which, being interpreted, is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Son of God, brought to this earth in such humble circumstances, you know, when he was born of that Virgin Mary in that little place of Bethlehem, he basically, his parents had to run for their lives. People sought to kill him, trying to stop the great blessing that could happen tonight to you. the devil orchestrated evil men who were power hungry, and they didn't want any other king to rule but them. And they didn't understand eternity. They didn't understand the will of God. They didn't understand the salvation that was brought forth that day on Calvary's cross. And to think that it was all done for you, that's quite a thing, isn't it? You know, there was a night when I realized that myself. It was all done for me, that I was the guilty sinner that he came for. And tonight you can realize that too. There is salvation, God does say, through the blood. There was a sacrifice made on Calvary's cross that day there in the hot sun outside the city walls of Jerusalem, and an innocent man was killed. Not just innocent of crimes, but innocent of all sin. That's the difference. For he could not sin. He was God himself who dwelt with man. And tonight he could be yours. It'd be wonderful to go into eternity. I'm gonna guess and that you're like me and you don't know what eternity is like. Can't understand it. I'd rather take a chance with a Savior who loved me in an eternity which promises pleasure, instead of going into eternity without Christ and have to spend it in a place of pain. Choose Christ tonight and don't be sorry going into eternity.